Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Unmotivated Habits Podcast. When today's guest, Lucy, and I connected, I thought she'd be a great fit for the show because when it comes to improving our lives and setting those foundational habits, I think it all starts with having a clean and organized home or room or workspace. And, you know, if you roll out of bed and you leave the blankets in a heap, and you step over yesterday's dirty clothes, then head into the kitchen with yesterday's dishes in the sink and into your car with a bunch of trash and head to work. You know, you're never going to achieve those goals you're setting out to accomplish. And it's just not going to happen. We all know those people. Don't be that person. Get organized. And with that in mind, Lucy and I had a great conversation about where to start and how to get things moving in the right direction. So I hope you enjoy the episode and thanks again for tuning in.
My name is Lucy Milligan-Wall and I am the owner of a boutique professional organizing company based in San Francisco, and I help people make their lives easier by getting their living spaces organized. So I work with all kinds of people, busy professionals, families, people who live in urban areas who have a lot going on in life. Basically, the whole point is to make life easier.
Lucy, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It is such a great topic. I'd love to explore it. You mentioned in your intro, organization makes life easier. It certainly does. But I wanted to ask first, who are your typical clients? Why are they coming to you? And what are some of the most common questions that they're giving you?
Sure. So my most common clients are busy professionals in their 30s and 40s, often dating or married, sometimes thinking about expanding families or have small children, sometimes thinking about buying their first condo or home, maybe already did. But they're in that phase of life where there's just so much going on. I mean, even during a pandemic, they're being pulled in a million different directions. And something as simple as having basic organizing systems in their home just really helps them handle all of those balls in the air that they're juggling. And they're usually coming with questions about spaces that aren't as obvious to people about how to organize. So sometimes it's a home office, sometimes it's a kid's room. Sometimes it's even a kitchen because we spend so much time in our kitchens, and if they're not organized, it really affects us. So,
yeah, for me, it's the garage, and my wife doesn't get it because for her, it's just a place where you put things, and who cares if it's a little messy? For me, I just want everything to have a place. I want everything to be organized, and I want things to be. I don't know what your thoughts on this, but I like things to be enclosed. I know a lot of people like things to be visible. And in certain points, like in my closet, yeah, I like things to be visible. But is there something too out of sight, out of mind when it comes to organization?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And I actually have experienced it as sort of there are two kinds of people situation. There are the people who, if they don't see it, it doesn't exist. And then there are people who, like you, who have sort of a mental map in their heads of where things are, but they don't want to see it. And I'm actually more like you. I like everything behind closed doors. I like a clean, clear surface. But a lot of the people that I work with, if they can't see it, they're not going to use it. So we have to think of different ideas.
I can certainly get that. And for me, even when it's behind closed doors, I like it to be tidy and organized. It's not like I just throw things in there, and as long as I don't see it, it's okay. I like it to be organized beyond that. Yeah. And another thing is I like consistency. Like I was watching one of your videos and I was like, thank you, because it's something I don't think people get, but you were mentioning hangers. And for me, it's like, if the hangers don't match, just throw them out and start over. I actually have the same hangers that you had in the video, but what is that in my mind that I want things to be uniform that way?
I think it's calming. There's something about it where your brain goes, okay, this is what a hanger is, and they all look like that. Okay, I've figured that out. I don't have to think about it. It's not a constant challenge. Yeah. I think it's kind of calming. And also, when things match, you don't notice them as much. Mm-hmm. And what people tend to say about clutter is that it talks to them, that it has voices, and it's stressful. And so something becomes a lot less cluttered looking when everything matches and sort of recedes visually.
Yeah, I have heard people say that the people who are a bit more cluttered, that tends to mean they're a little bit more creative. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case, but maybe a little bit.
I definitely get pushback from my creative clients on being tidy. They're like, no, I need to be surrounded by my stuff to get inspiration. I'm like, well, we can surround you by stuff in a little bit better way.
Yeah, not me. I like it to be a little bit cleaner. Another question I had was, so my wife and I recently bought a house. I know some other people who are buying a house. I didn't get to have a blank slate. I was buying it from someone who was moving out kind of incrementally. But if you're starting with a blank slate of a house, what are some of the tips you would give to people? Like, okay, you're starting clean. Here's what you should do and just maintain it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you want to think about, first of all, the flow in the space and how you're going to use it. So sometimes this means getting a little creative. Like, I know a lot of people, for example, if they're in a sort of traditional older home that has a formal dining room, they'll often repurpose that dining room for either a home office or a playroom for kids. But it helps to think about that first, to sort of plan out, okay, this is going to be where we do this, this is going to be where we do this, and think about how you flow through the space. A problem area for a lot of people is actually the entryway, because that's where it all starts to fall apart. You walk in the door, you've got a bag, you've got a kid, you've got like groceries, and all you want to do is just drop everything and like move on with your life, which then leads to clutter around the entryway, right? So thinking about how you're going to flow in the space and what you need in each space to accomplish the things you're going to do there. So making sure that the stuff is in the place where you use it, so you're not constantly having to go find things.
Yeah. And I know you're in San Francisco, correct?
I am.
So my wife and I moved back from San Jose. We're on the East Coast now. We lived in San Jose for 3 years. So I would imagine that your typical client is not in, you know, a mansion or a big house.
No.
It's probably small apartments. So what are the challenges of that versus, you know, a 4-bedroom house?
You have less space to work with, so you have to be a lot more intentional about what stuff you have and how you store it. I think what's interesting is many people, especially in San Francisco, because we are sort of a city of transplants, people come from all over and they don't necessarily stay for very long. So I've had a lot of clients who are used to living in a 4-bedroom house, and then they come here and it just blows their mind that a person can exist in a 2-bedroom apartment. So it's all about sort of shifting your perspective and also an element of not thinking about it as deprivation, like I'm deprived of this extra storage space, but thinking of it as like, okay, this is my space. How do I make my space the best that it can be given the constraints that I have? But I will tell you that I have worked in some very large homes and some very, very small homes. And every single client says, you know, the problem is I just don't have enough storage space.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I hear that from so many different people in so many different homes, I start to think, you know, I don't think it's the storage space. I think it's the strategy.
Yeah. On that note, like when we were in the Bay Area, we moved to different apartments pretty much every year. And one of the benefits of that I loved was every time we moved, we just threw out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Kept what we needed. Are you a big proponent of occasionally doing a cleanse of things you might not need?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, my husband and I do it probably twice a year. And in fact, you know, before we met, he would never have called himself a particularly organized person, but now he'll sort of come to me and he'll be like, I'm getting kind of itchy. I think we need to purge.
Me too.
So I'll be like, well, let's clear your calendar for this weekend. We're going to do it. Okay, great. Perfect.
And one of the other challenges on that note is, so my podcast is all about making small changes and sustaining them and building upon them. And it's kind of easy to see where that goes with organizations, because it's just something you can stay on top of it, stay organized and keep that rolling. But one thing I've never kind of figured out is if you're starting from like a jumbled mess.
Yeah.
There's not really, like, I don't have a nice strategy to incrementally improve that. I think I need to sit down and put a day aside to clean this room or to organize that room. Is that kind of the same sense you have, or is there a way to do it, you know, hack at it in small pieces. Cause that's the one thing that I can't do incrementally. I have to just sit down and clean it all over it, like for a day.
Yeah, I think you can take an incremental approach. And it's interesting how different people deal with the prospect of clearing clutter. So some people, like you, are like, okay, let's get this done. Like, I am here for this. And then other people are very intimidated by that. And that feels very difficult. And so for those kind of clients, I work on getting a quick win in a shorter amount of time. So really stepping back and being, okay, this room is cluttered, but let's start with this one shelf. And we're just going to focus on this one shelf and we're going to look at it. And you're not allowed to look at the rest of the room. We're just focusing here. And I have to redirect people back constantly because this whole thing is very overwhelming, like you're mentioning when you're starting with an entire cluttered room. But I really break it down into geographical areas of the room. Yeah. And we work on one geographical area first. And then if they're still feeling okay, we move on to the next one. If they're feeling really tired, we call that good and we come back another day. So
yeah,
I would say that the incremental way to break it down isn't necessarily by process, it's sort of by region.
That makes sense. Yeah. Now, another question I had is how, and I'm sure you get this all the time. I know you have dogs as well.
I have a dog. Yes, I do.
So how organized is your house? Would people, do you ever wake up and you're like, I'm a professional organizer, but it's a mess in here. Does that ever happen to you?
I'm pretty organized. However, stuff happens. And we are notorious for not doing the dishes the night after we host a party. So the morning after a party is when this house does not look like a professional organizer lives in it. Of course, in the pandemic, that's not happening so much these days, but in normal life, when we throw a party, that next day is pretty brutal. but yeah, in general, I'm pretty organized just because the reason that I got into this was because it makes me feel so much more on top of my life. And I find it to be such a secret weapon for just like everyday happiness and success that I just wanted to share that with other people. And so it's not like it's me feeling like, oh God, I'm a professional organizer, I gotta stay organized. It's more like just how I live, basically. Yeah.
And I think there's something to it. I think if you take that one, like home organization, if you take that out of the equation and you just do it naturally, it frees bandwidth in your mind to really get after the other things in life that you're trying to do.
Exactly.
And what have you brought it up? You brought up the pandemic. What have been some of the challenges that the pandemic has given people as far as organization? And are you dealing with a lot more home offices and things like that?
I am dealing with more home offices for sure, and lots of content about working from home, because that was, especially in the early months of the pandemic, that was a huge concern for people. I think what's been interesting is people didn't really think about how little time they spent in their homes. I mean, if you think about the lifestyle of an urban professional, you know, they're waking up super early in the morning. They're just like getting their kids together and out the door and barely even thinking about it. They're spending 8+ hours at work. They're picking up the kids, coming home, trying to get dinner on the table, trying to get everybody to bed. Maybe they have time to crash in front of the TV for an hour and then they got to go to bed. Like there's not that many hours that they were spending just sort of in their homes. And so people are saying, wow, I knew that I kind of wanted to get organized, but now I really feel like this is a big problem because I am seeing this and dealing with this every single day.
Yeah.
All day.
And on that note, I think people are spending a lot more time in the kitchen as well. And you did mention the kitchen. You're right. That's something I don't really consider a place you need to organize, but you do. Do you have any specific kitchen tips for people who are going to now be spending a lot more time at home and cooking and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I think that people sometimes get very aspirational about kitchens, and they get excited by pretty appliances or pretty dishes or like, you know, a set of spatulas that has a cute design on it. And which, if you're not cooking full time, you know, 3 meals a day, as we're all kind of doing now, kind of cute and it sort of decorates your kitchen. But then when you're trying to actually cook, I think it's important to be realistic about how you cook, the kind of food you cook, what you're actually going to use, and to do a little bit of that decluttering and purging of your kitchen to make sure that there's not a whole lot of extra stuff cluttering up, especially in a city like I live in where our kitchens are not very big. There's not a lot of space for extra stuff. And the other thing is I really encourage people to think about food storage. Every time I organize a pantry or a kitchen, I'm throwing out a really kind of alarming amount of expired food. And especially in our pre-pandemic lives, you know, you'd go grocery shopping and throw it in the back of the cupboard and deal with it later. And that just leads to a lot of wasted food, unfortunately. So I really encourage people to organize their food storage, however that is, and sort of keep track of that and use a shopping list instead of just going, oh, that's on sale, I'll buy that. Because that's how you end up with food waste. And interestingly, through my exposure to other people's kitchens and other people's pantries, I've become quite passionate about food waste. It really bothers me. So
me too.
Especially during the pandemic when we were having, you know, food shortages, and there's a food shortage and I'm helping someone throw out expired food, I was just like, oh my God, this is not okay. So I really encourage people to be thoughtful about how they purchase and store food.
On that note, one of the areas that I have never, ever, despite numerous attempts, never have I been able to organize, it's my refrigerator. It's just, I feel like they're laid out poorly just in general with the crisper for the cheese and the fruits and vegetables. Inevitably, there's going to be something rotting on the bottom that you forgot was there.
Yeah.
I don't know how many mushrooms I've thrown out because I just forget they're in the back of the refrigerator. Do you have any tips on that? That just came to mind. Do you have any refrigerator organizing tips?
If your refrigerator is modular, feel free to move stuff around. I think that's something that people don't do enough, whether it's a cabinet, a closet, your fridge, shelves move. You can move them, like feel free. That can really help. And then also something that's tough about fridges, that's also tough about cabinets, is the depth. Like stuff gets hidden in the back. And so you can get like these just little basic plastic bins that are actually refrigerator depth, so that you pull out a bin and can see everything in it, as opposed to like kind of doing this move to get to the back.
That's going to be one of my next Amazon purchases. I didn't even think about that till you brought up the food waste.
Awesome.
And how has the pandemic affected your business? So is home organization something you've been able to do virtually? And is that something like, can you have clients all over the country? Are you in person? How do you run your business at the moment?
Yeah, so the pandemic caused a huge pivot in my business. Obviously, I could not go into people's homes, at least for the first few months of the pandemic. And so I had been thinking about doing virtual organizing before the pandemic, and that just accelerated the transition. And so I kind of had the infrastructure in place. I just started doing it. And I really like doing virtual organizing, actually. Mm-hmm. I find it, strangely, it's more empowering for the client because I can't physically move stuff around for them. I mean, I can tell them, you know, do this, do that, but they have to actually do it. And so they're building that muscle and realizing that it's not that difficult and there aren't any weird secrets. It's just a matter of doing it and that they're totally capable. So I like that because it has sort of a greater long-term impact than, you know, me coming in and zhuzhing it all up and making it pretty and they go, ooh.
So I have
not gone back to in-person organizing. I will take a very limited number of in-home clients at this point, but I would only do one at a time. And so that means that I have to be very careful about which projects I pick and if that client is really ready for it and if they want to commit, because that commitment of my time is pretty significant. And then, you know, my concern personally is I don't want to take anything between households because I was in and out of multiple households every week. So when I'm devoting my time to an in-person project, they're my only project until it's done because I don't want to go into another household. So that's how I'm working. I'm really focusing on the virtual organizing, and I have in-home for people who really, really want that.
Well, that's good because you can take clients all over the country. I know we have listeners from all over the place in big cities and small towns. So on that note, where can people find you? What are your YouTube channels, your website, your social media? Where can they find you? Where can they reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm pretty active on Instagram at lmwedit. My website is lmwedits.com, and my YouTube channel is also lmwedits. Basically everywhere It's LMW Edits. I do also have Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, the whole thing. But mostly I'm on Instagram, and then all the info about how to work with me and some free resources you can use to get organized are on my website.
Okay. And that I'll put all the links to that in the link to this episode, and I'll put them on all the posts I send out. So I will hopefully get you some people who are looking to organize. I'll be watching your videos to organize my house. And Lucy, I very much appreciate you coming on today. Awesome topic. And I hope to dig into it some more.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking to you.
You got it. Thank you guys again for tuning in. I hope it helped give you some inspiration to get organized. If you enjoyed the podcast, as usual, please rate it and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to follow me personally with some live streams, head over to twitch.tv/Zwift, Z-W-I-F-T. And that's where I'm currently streaming some live cycling workouts every Monday. But that's going to expand into some strength training workouts and other things once I get this studio complete and I get my squat rack back on the wall. So some big things happening there. And that's also going to mean more video podcasts and some YouTube content. So lots of big things on the horizon. So thank you again for joining me on this journey. And stay tuned for some big things coming, especially in 2021.